Praise God.
Hey, man, good to be here up here tonight. Good to see you, precious people. Amen. Just be out of the house of the Lord, isn't it?
Bless your heart.
We're blessed, ain't we?
Amen.
Amen. Got your Bible up here tonight. Turn to the book of Mark, chapter 2. And I'll help you tonight. Mark chapter 2. We're kind of like that old boy that lived there, and he called this store right down the road from where he lived, and he called and said, "Y'all got a job down there for a stock boy." He said, the guy that owned the store said, "Well, we don't have any openings." He said, We got a stock boy here." He said, "Well, does he show up on time?" He said, "Yeah, he shows up on time." Said, "Well, does he do what you tell him to do?" He says, "Yeah, he does what he's told to do." Said, "Overall, do you think he's a pretty good stock boy that you got down there?" He said, "Yeah, he's a pretty good stock boy." He said, "But I'll tell you what, if he was to ever quit or leave or we ever have an opening," he said, "we'll call you, son, for a position." He said, "No, I already got a job." He said, "I'm the stock boy down at that store down there." See, sometimes we need to do a little checkup on ourselves, don't we? Amen? He called him checking up on himself. So many times we come out to church and we flop our big old tails down the seat and we say, "Now I won't get my goosebump. If I don't get that, I've not been to church." Maybe we need to check on ourselves sometimes.
Amen.
Amen. We need to check on ourselves. Right? Amen. Mark chapter 2. The Bible says, "And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house." It doesn't make any difference that I'm in the house, or Brother Lonnie's in the house, or any of you's in the house. What we want to know is we want some noise that he's in the house. Amen? The Bible says, "And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them." You see what Jesus did when he got them in church? When he got them all there? He preached the word unto them, and they came, come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. I had an old preacher call me one time. He's studying this. He said, "Brother Kevin, I'm thinking about preaching on this tomorrow night." He said, "That one born of four," said, "that means he had four brothers he's born of." I said, "No, son, don't get up and say that. That means they carried him. That's what that means right there." And when they could not come nigh to him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Amen. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reason within themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the sick of the palsy, "I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house." And immediately, not an hour later, not after he gave the offering, not after he did something, immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion." We never saw it on this fashion. We never saw it on this fashion. Or we never seen it done in this manner. We never seen it done like this before. Mark chapter 1, the Bible said that Jesus, and Mark is a very fast-paced book in your Bible. It goes from hand to hand to hand. Man, it's a fast-paced book. And in Mark chapter 1, the Bible said that Jesus went into a synagogue. And there while he was in that synagogue, the Bible said that there was a man there in the church house now, in the synagogue, Brother Lonnie, that had an unclean spirit about him. And when Jesus got in, I believe Jesus got into the service, ever what the order of the service was, in the synagogue was, that man began to cry out there in the synagogue, with an unclean spirit. You know, you bring a spirit in here with you tonight. You know that you've been in church with somebody with an old nasty, with an old bitter, with an old aggravating spirit about them. Well, sure you have. It'll kill a meeting out in a church house. They'll disturb something. But what does Jesus do? Jesus says, hush your mouth. Jesus commanded that devil shut his mouth. And it torn that man and ran out of that man. And Jesus was in the house. And something. When Jesus is in the house, mouths get stopped and mouths get shut up when Jesus is in the house. And then we go a little further in the Bible, Brother Lonnie, and he goes in Peter's house. And there Peter, in Peter's house, his mother-in-law was there. Now listen to me. The Catholics say that a Pope can't get married. I think that's a devilish religion. It ain't Christian in no wise whatsoever. And the Bible said that Peter had a mother-in-law. If he had a mother-in-law, he had to have been married. Wouldn't you say that? And there his mother-in-law lay sick of a fever. And the Bible said that Jesus walked over to her, Brother Dennis, because the apostles came to Jesus. The Bible said the word anon. That means immediately when Jesus come into that house. They went in, Brother Lonnie, and they said, hey, a mother-in-law over here is sick. And Jesus went over and got her by the hand and lifted her up. Aren't you glad sometimes when Jesus is in the house? Hey, listen to me. He'll lift you up, Brother Dave, when he's in the house. He'll get you by the hand. She was sick of a fever. And the Bible said when she got up, you know what she done? The Bible said she ministered. That don't mean she preached. That word minister means that she served. And when Jesus gets you by the hand and lifts you up, bless God, you'll get up and serve and do something for the Lord. But it don't stop there. He goes into another house right there. And while he's in that house, here come a little leper out to see him and beseeching him. Kneel down to him when Jesus is present. And when Jesus is in the house, some mouths get shut up, some hands get lifted up. But here come this old boy. He was a leper. He was eat up with leprosy. And the Bible said he fell down, Brother Lonnie, before Jesus. He said, Lord, if you will, touch me that I may be clean. And Jesus reached down, brother, and he became clean. Aren't you glad when Jesus is in the house? And when Jesus is around, some things will shut up, some things will lift up, and some things will get cleaned up. Amen. Mark chapter 2, bless God, watch this. Jesus is in the house, brother. And here they come with this man right here, one born of four. He's sick of the palsy. He's an unmovable man. Brother, he can't move. And we just read there in the Bible, Jesus got him up, didn't he? Jesus shut some things up. Jesus lifts some things up. Jesus cleans some things up. And bless God, Jesus will get you up when he's in his house. And when you're in the presence of the Lord. And the Bible said, I just read it to you in Mark chapter 2, that they were all amazed in that place. And Brother Lonnie, they glorified God. They didn't glorify the preacher. They didn't glorify the church or the name over the door, brother. They glorified God. You know what the problem is today? Oh, we're looking unto man. Oh, we're looking unto a name. Oh, we're looking unto a group. Bless God, if anything comes, it'll come by Jesus Christ. Anything happens in your life, it'll come by Jesus and Jesus alone. And He will get a full honor and full glory. Not a man, but God will get all glory and honor when Jesus is in the house. They said we never seen it on this fashion. I'm going to preach on a fashion statement tonight. Hey man, you care, Brother Jeffrey, if I preach on a fashion statement tonight? We're going to make a fashion statement. These boys, Brother Lonnie, made a fashion statement. They said, hey, we've been around, hear this happen right here. We've never seen it like this before. We've never seen it, Brother David, on this fashion. We've never seen it like this. You know what we need in our churches? You know what we need in my church? You know what we need in this church? You know what we need across our land? We need a fashion statement in our churches. We need some help from God in our churches. And the Bible said they said this. They said we never seen it on this fashion. But we got an unmovable man. He's sick of the palsy. You know what that means, Elijah? He can't move. He can't get up. He can't do nothing for himself.
Amen.
You know what a lost man, listen to me. A lost man can't do nothing for himself, brother. We go by people every day and we say he needs to get into church and we'll go right on by him. Hey, listen to me. He's lost. He's lost. He can't do nothing for himself. He can't save himself. He can't work his way in. There's nothing, Brother Lonnie, he can do. He's unmovable. He's right there and he needs some help. He needs somebody to come along the way and give him a help out in this life.
Amen, preacher.
We say we want people to come and get saved, brother. We don't ever invite them. We don't live right in the house before them. We got a bad witness and a bad testimony at work. We laugh at the dirty jokes at work. We talk awful. We run down everybody else. And then we'll wonder why our children don't get saved. We'll wonder why people at work ain't got no confidence in us. They ain't got no faith in us. Hey, listen to me. When God saved you, it ain't just to go to heaven. Did you know that? He left you here for a reason. If the only reason you're saved is to go to heaven, then the very time you got saved, God would have killed you and took you on. But He left you here 51 years, brother, so we can minister and be about the Father's business.
Amen, preacher.
Watch this now.
That's right.
Watch this, man. Watch this now. Watch this. What did these fellas do that got this man some help where they would say, they were so amazed, where they would say, we just never seen it on this fashion. I believe if what they done, Brother Dave, is what we'll do, we'll have people in Martin County, Lawrence County, Pike County, we'll have people watching on the internet and around places. They'll say, well, I've never seen it on that fashion, but they've got it down. They know what it takes to get unmovable lost sinners in the house of God and get them saved. What did these fellas do? It's real simple. The Bible said they was born one, born of four. Now listen to me. God could have levitated him down there into the house if God wanted to. But God didn't do that. God could have picked three. But God didn't pick three. God picked four. He was one, born of four to be carried down to the house of God. Now watch this. Now if they got one, if Brother Jeffrey's laying on a bed and there's four corners to that bed, and I get a corner, and Darrell gets a corner, and Brother Jamie gets a corner, and Brother Lonnie gets a corner, and we say this, boys, we're going to move Jeffrey out the back door. Guess what's going to happen? Lonnie's got to say, I'm going that way. Kevin's got to say, I'm going that way. Darrell's got to say, I'm going that way. And Jamie's got to say, I'm going that way. I'm being real simple with you tonight. Hey, listen to me. They all got to be in one accord. They all got to be in unity, brother. They all got to be going in the same direction. You know why they said that we've never seen it in this fashion or in this wise? Bless God, if we could get all on unity, if we could just come coming together in one mind and in one accord. And everybody get behind the preacher. And everybody lift up the name of Jesus. And everybody get in unity. I believe we would see a change in this community. I believe we'd see a change in this state. If we'd all just get together, like Psalm 133:1 says, how good. First he says, behold. That means take a look at this. He says, how good and pleasant it is, brother, for brother to dwell together in unity. It don't say dwell in unity. It says dwell together in unity. And these four boys, you know what they did? That shocked that group right there. Bless God, they was in unity, moving together to get a man to Jesus.
Amen.
Woo!
Listen
to me. Listen to me. We're going to have an association meeting here. I look forward to it. We're going to be lost people here. There are going to be a lot of churches here. Our association. Some of them, brothers, you might not care much for. Some of them I don't care much for. Let's just be honest. I love them. But sometimes, brethren, we don't see things right, do we? That ain't God's fault.
No, sir.
That's my fault. And your fault.
Yep.
But you know what we need to do for the cause of Jesus Christ? Listen to me now.
Come on, Kevin.
I've got to be in this church. Got to be in the church I pastor. We got to come together in unity.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, he said, endeavoring, Brother Lonnie, endeavoring in the Spirit, endeavoring, forbearing one another. That's what he says. Go read it. He said to keep the unity in the Spirit. You know what endeavoring means? It means, buddy, we got to work at it, Brother Dennis. Boy, Lonnie, it ain't in me. It ain't in me, and it ain't in you. God's got to use and work through us through the Spirit so we can be a one mind and one accord and come together as God's people and see somebody a one to Jesus Christ. See somebody that's grown cold and indifferent on God, brought back in the fold. See some of them that ain't been here in a long time. Maybe God will spark them in their heart and they'll be where they're supposed to be. If you and I could just get in unity one with another.
Amen.
Is that right?
Anything else is of the devil.
Amen. We got to get in unity, don't we, brothers?
Yes, sir.
Dennis, it wouldn't have worked if three of them would have said, we're going. And let's say Darrell was on the back and he said, I think we ought to go this way. They would have been pulling this way. Darrell would have been pulling that way. Now, guess what? It would have been hard, wouldn't it? And who's caught in the middle right there? The poor old man that can't move. You know who gets caught in the middle of a lot of our silliness in churches? You know who gets caught in the middle of a lot of our stuff? A poor man that can't move. A poor old lost man. A poor old fellow that comes in, his marriage is busted up. His kids is out in sin. He's got a family member on drugs. And he's wanting to pray. He's so ashamed to bring it up in church. And you know what happens? We get too busy as brethren, pulling against one another, that he gets lost, sitting on that bed. He can't move himself. He needs some help. And God wants you and I to work together to help somebody.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless your heart, preacher.
Right?
Amen.
They never seen it on this fashion. Because they was always fighting each other. You already talked about the Sadducees.
Yeah.
They fought with the Pharisees.
Yeah.
And the Pharisees fought with the Herodians.
Yeah.
Then you had the scribes. But they could get unified together to fight Jesus. You ain't it funny how the world can fight one another till they get a single foe, which is what we stand for, old time religion. Am I right or wrong? Huh? They can come together in a bar drinking and run me and you down. Hey, listen, in the bars tonight, they're not out there talking about, now the United Baptists much better than them free wheels down there, and them old regulars is much better. No, in the bar, we're running this all down as a group, and it's all in one mind and one accord. You know, the first time in Scripture when you see people's in one mind and one accord, is when they're building that old Tower of Babel. Hey, they're together in one mind and one accord to do something that displeases God. Hey, listen to me. The devil fights unity in the church. The devil fights unity between the brethren. But you and I need to work together because there's a man that we're trying to carry out of Jesus.
Amen.
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 They said, we never seen it on this fashion. We never seen it like this. You ever seen them geese fly? I got them up there where I live, brother. They make a mess. And they fly like in a V. You've seen that before? They don't do it by accident. God created them to do that. To teach you and I who's ignorant about things. We're ignorant. Brother Lonnie hit it on the head. But we're ignorant. We think we know something. We don't. Bible says we think we know something. We're fools. What it says. Them little old geese will fly, brother, in a V. You know why? Because in flying in a V, they can fly about 70% longer flying in a V together than they can by themselves. You ever hear them squawking and hollering? You think, man, that's annoying. But that's for a reason, too. Them geese are flying out there, and they're flapping their wings, and they got a leader on the point, and they're squawking saying, we're behind you. Come on and fly. We're behind you. Boy, what would happen at Pack Bottom Church if you just come in here and flap your wings and say, we're behind you, preacher. We're behind you. We want to see somebody want to God. We want to see somebody get help for the life, and we're behind you 100%.
Amen.
What would happen come September? What would happen come September? Brother, when we all get in here, if we just flap our wings, quit fighting and squabbling. Amen. Hey, get off the milk, get on the meat, and say, we're going to get behind the brother. Amen. We're going to get behind the brother. Hey, I've read the association history. I'm new in this thing, Brother Lonnie. But I've read the history from years back. I tell Brother Darrell about this. And every little issue, every little thing that's went on for 170 some odd years. You know what? It's been very few times, Brother Dennis. I researched this out and I read it. Very few times has it been over doctrine. You know what? It's most time been over personalities. Personalities. And you know who gets hurt? My daughter, it's lost. You know who gets hurt? Your son or daughter, it's lost. Your grandyoungin, it's lost. Your wife or husband, that's lost. Because let me tell you something. You let a church squabble go down in here, honey, it'll make it on Facebook. It'll go around the world. It'll travel out there. The devil will make sure everybody hears what's going on. Amen. That's why it's so hard. You and I got to work together and say, put our differences away and drop our sword and be careful that we're not like the Apostle Peter who retched out and struck out and cut off Malchus's ear. Jesus picked it up, put it back on his head because Malchus would have never listened to Peter on Acts chapter 2. If he didn't have no ear, would he? And faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And Brother Lonnie, I can say this. As a preacher, I rest out too fast with my sword and cut off people's ears. And God help me, and God help you to have the Lord put it back on their head so they'll hear the precious Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's the truth.
Amen. We won't, if there's going to be any help, we got to get in unity.
Amen.
Now watch this. It's just simple. It's real simple. They was in unity together.
Uh-huh.
Elijah, watch this. They got up and did something. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
They got up, brother, and did something. Now watch this. And what they did was hard work.
Why, sure.
Now, brother, let me tell you something. You get out here and you start doing something for God, it's going to be hard work. They got to the door right there. They couldn't get in the church, brother, because the crowd pushed them out. The press was there. You're going to do something for God. Watch this. You're going to run into obstacles. You're going to run into issues. Listen to me. I started that church up there and it was one obstacle after another, and still is. One issue after the other. But you know what? Anything you do for God and anything I do for God, it's going to be hard. But we got to keep on keeping on, brother. And I like what these boys did. They weren't going to be stopped by that door. They went up on the roof. Hey, listen to me. And if we're going to be used of God, and if God's going to do a mighty work within our churches and within us as a people, we got to get up off our tails and get out and be doing something for the Lord.
Amen.
You know who criticized them? I read it to you right there. Watch this. Look what happens right here in verse 6. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning.
Oh, yeah.
It's always that crowd that sits there.
Yeah, it
it's always that crowd that sits there. And reasoning, which means they had questions. You ever had, Brother Lonnie, all these times you've been pastor, that crowd that don't do nothing for God, but they're good at sitting and questioning everything you do. Questioning everything. Listen to me. That's not what God wants for us to do. God wants for you and I to be up and doing something for Him.
Amen.
You say, well, brother, I'm not a preacher. Thank God you're not. Let me tell you something. It's a burden to be a preacher.
Amen.
It's the best. Listen, there ain't no better blessings in the world. But there ain't no more heavier burdens than to try to preach.
Amen.
Amen. You try to preach, brother, you embarrass His flesh. You're going to take pot shots. It's coming at you in every which way it is. I didn't know it when I first started preaching, brother. I thought when I first started preaching, everybody was going to love me. I was going to kiss babies and help out people at funerals. I didn't know. Thank God He don't tell us because nobody preached. I didn't know the struggles. I didn't know the criticism. I didn't know the hardships that was about to come at me. But thank God He cuddles us up in His grace, in His mercy, and helps us along the way. If not, brother, we couldn't do what we're doing right now if it wasn't for the Spirit of God giving us and quickening this mind to preach and giving you boldness and giving me boldness so I can minister to you and help you from the Word of God.
Amen.
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 But you ain't got to preach to do something for God. You say, preacher, I just can't sing. Listen to me. You don't have to be a preacher or a singer. If you're saved by the grace of God, you've got a job to do for God. You heard that story that time about the hands and the teeth and the tongues and the mouths. They got in an argument with the stomach. And they said, it ain't fair. Brother Jamie, this ain't fair. We do all the work and the stomach gets to enjoy that gravy. This ain't fair. We're out here doing all this work. The teeth said, yeah, I'm wearing myself down. Tongue says, yeah. My lips say, yeah. My hands say, yeah, I'm getting it. And bless God, the stomach just sits there and gets to enjoy it all. That just don't seem right. So we're going to go on strike. And we're not going to give the stomach nothing. Well, a few days went on, that old stomach started growling. I said, oh. They said, we'll teach that stomach. After a few days, them old hands said, I'm awful weak. And lips saying, I'm awful dry. And tongue said, boy, I sure like to work and get some food.
Yeah.
And a few days went along, and the hands said, I can't hardly bear. Grip my hands. Then they all said, we need to work together, because if we help the stomach, it helps the hands. And if we help the stomach, it helps the lips. If we help the stomach, it helps the teeth. We help the stomach, it helps the tongue. What are you saying, preacher? Listen to me, whether you're the hands, whether you're the teeth, whether you're the stomach, whether you're the little toe, you've got a work to do for God. God just didn't save you, friend. God just didn't save you so you could just sit there and reason and question and question. God saved you that you might be out here doing something for the Lord. I tell them at our church, hey, pray. Boy, that's a big thing.
It sure is.
Thank God. Hey, I've got them at my church, and I know you've got them here. I ain't got to say a word. They'll show up there and work on the commode. Thank God. They'll show up there and check the water pipes. I was visiting my dad one day, and a little brother came there and said, I didn't even know he was there. But he was right there, listen, nobody knew he was there. He's just doing that. You know why? He wasn't doing that to please me. He didn't even know I was around. He's doing it because he loves God. He was doing it because he loves God's people. He was doing it because he wants to be used for God and in the service of God. Hey, listen to me. God saved us and He wants us to be up and doing something for Him. And they said, we never seen it like this before. Because they wasn't in unity. And they were sitting around questioning. They wasn't up and doing nothing.
Come on, Kevin.
Amen. Every church has got those.
Yeah.
Every church has got those. I need people in the church. And God wants people to be in the church that are faithful, brother.
Yes, sir.
Moreover, it is required In a steward, the Bible says that a man be found faithful. I got some people that come to my church, Lonnie. I believe they're saved by the grace of God.
Absolutely.
And they could be such a blessing.
Yes.
Couldn't they, Brother Jamie, Brother Darrell? They could be such a blessing. But they don't attend regularly.
Okay.
They're not faithful. A little bit of struggle, a little bit depressed will be at the door, brother. And it'll blow them out of the church. And I can't depend on them enough. But they could be such a blessing. They could be such a help to people. If they would just press through that, brother, and get up and be faithful in the house of God. Oh, listen to me. That's what God wants out of me and you. That's what He expects out of you and I, is to be faithful. Thank God He was faithful when He carried that cross. Thank God He was faithful. Faithful when He asked three to go pray with Him and they couldn't even stay awake. Thank God Jesus didn't quit like a lot of Baptists I've seen just quit. You've got preachers, listen to me. They can be such a blessing. They can be such a help to this brother. They can be such a help to me. But a little bit of friction, a little bit of trouble, and they quit and run. Bless God, God wants us to be faithful. God wants us to be working. God don't want us to sit on the stool, do nothing. He wants us to be out about the Father's business.
Amen.
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 They said, we never seen it on this fashion.
Amen.
They made a fashion statement. What's their names, Brother Kevin? It don't say. Thank God.
Yes.
It don't matter our names, brother.
Good.
It don't matter our names. They just wanted to get a fellow to Jesus. They just wanted to help somebody.
That's right.
They didn't care. They just wanted to do it for Jesus. Watch this. They was in unity, one with another. Brother, they was up and doing something for the Lord. And I like this. They had unwavering faith. They had unshakable, unbreakable, Brother David, faith.
Amen.
Are you listening?
Come on, Kevin.
They had unbreakable, unshakable, Brother Dennis.
Yes, sir.
Unwavering faith. A preacher told me one time, he said, after somebody dies, he said, I quit praying 4 days at least. 5 days at least after they die. He said, because that's no one place in the Bible. Jesus raised a man from the dead. Hey, listen to me, that's unbreakable faith, ain't it? That's unshakable faith. These boys said, we might not can't get him through the door, but we're not going to stop. We know if we can get him to Jesus. They got him up on the roof. I can see people looking at him saying, what are you boys doing? We got to get him to Jesus. You can't get him to Jesus. There ain't no room in there. I believe we can get him to Jesus. And Jesus is going to help him. They began to tear up that roof. I believe it began to get rowdy in there. Can you see the Lord Jesus Himself looking up through that hole and with a smile on His face as they drop down that little man on the cot? It ain't recorded nothing that he says. But Jesus sees that little man. And you know what he says? He said, the Bible said when he saw their faith.
That's right.
When he saw their faith.
Yeah. That's right.
Not his faith.
No.
Their faith.
He never stopped.
When he saw their faith.
Amen.
My son, Brother Kevin's, he's too far gone.
Yeah.
No, he ain't. There's a woman one time and her husband prayed for many years for their son. You've heard of D.L. Moody, ain't you? You've heard of D.L. Moody, ain't you? He had a big church out in Chicago. It had 20,000 people there. They had prayed for years for their son. They had spoke to him. It's before the days of cell phones. It's them good days. It's before the days of cell phones and all that stuff. And they went to that little church, Brother Lonnie. They was faithful. And they went every Sunday and they prayed. Well, that particular Sunday, they had probably 20,000 people they estimated was in that church house in Chicago, Illinois. That little man and woman stood up and they said, Brother Moody, we've got something to say. For years we've been coming here and going to the altar together and praying. Our son is over in Australia on the other side of the world. He's into sin. We've not talked to him in several years. And we're asking you, if you'll ask all these 20,000 people here to join us in praying that God will touch our son. That whole crowd got together in unity. Got up and done something. Began to pray. God, touch that boy. God, you know right where he's at and right where he's doing. Touch that boy. Listen to me. That little man and woman got up and they said, we're going to go home and hang a bell on our door. Just in case he comes home at night and we're not up, that he can ring a bell. Honey, a few days went by and the little bell rung at their house. They come to the door and it was their boy that they hadn't seen and talked to in years. He began to say, listen to me, I was riding a horse to the backside of the desert there. He told them the time and the place. It happened to be the same time and place that they was in a church. And 20,000 prayers went up. He said, I don't know what happened. He said, I was going to get drunk. He said, but I was riding that horse and I began to think about you, Mom. I began to think about you, Dad.